What's going on, Rock City? How we doing? Come on, let's give Jesus some praise in this place. Can we do that? So excited to be here with you guys today. I'm excited about what God's going to do in this place. And before we jump into the message, I just wanted to take a moment and to share how much my wife, Justine, and I love your pastors. Pastor Chad and Pastor Katie, man, they are the real deal. And it's an honor for us to be able to call them friends. And one of the things I love about your pastors is that every time I'm around them, they make me better. They make us better. How many of us know we need some friends like that in our lives that just make us better? They make our family better, and I'm just grateful for their friendship in our lives. And then to see what God is doing around here at Rock City Church, man, is nothing short of a move of God. Come on. And sometimes I think it's nice to have an outside voice come in and remind us that this is special. And what's happening around here isn't happening everywhere. And we never want to take for granted what we get to be a part of and what God is doing right before our very eyes. Because the truth is, what we fail to celebrate will eventually leave our lives. And so we want to make sure that we never take for granted what God is doing in this place. And I'm excited about the message today. And what God's doing around here is truly incredible. But how many of us know Rock City Church? We're not done yet. We're just getting started. Because there's more souls. There's more lives. There's more people who need to experience the love and the hope that only Jesus can give to us. And today, like Pastor Chad mentioned, I have the privilege of kicking off a brand new series that we're starting today called Goliath Must Fall, as we study the story of David and Goliath, and we face some giants in our own lives. And as we kind of unpack this story of this young shepherd boy who comes face to face with this 9-foot-tall giant, and many of us are familiar with this story, but the reason why we're doing this series is because the truth is, there's still some giants living in the land. There's still some giants living in our lives. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking some giants out, because that's just what we do around here at Rock City Church. We're just no longer going to put up with their shenanigans in our lives anymore. And really, the big idea behind this series is that God wants us to know, and he wants us to believe, that we can be free from whatever giant that's taunting us today, whatever giant that's demoralizing us, whatever giant that's trying to intimidate us in our lives. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how tall it is or how long it's been there. It doesn't even matter how many times it has knocked us down, that God wants us to know and believe that we can be free. We can live free from whatever giant is in our lives. And you know how I know this? Because I stand before you today. And because what God has done in my life, it gives me the courage and the confidence to say to anyone in this place today that you might think that you're down, but you can still get back up. You might feel like there's no hope, but I'm telling you today that God can set you free from whatever it is that has its foot on your neck. And if you're with me today, somebody say, let's go. All right, let's jump into it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story starts off by telling us the Philistine forces for war set up shop on one hill. And just so you guys know, the Philistines were the original forged in fire champions. That they were known as being experts of making weapons out of iron. And so they set up shop on one hill, and then God's people, the Israelites, set up shop on another hill with the Valley of Elah in the middle. We'll pick up the story in verse 4 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. That was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. So just a little bit taller than me today, to give you a little bit of point of reference. Verse 5 tells us that he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. His armor alone weighed 125 pounds. And on his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and his iron point weighed 600 shekels. Just the tip of his spear alone weighed 15 pounds. And his shield bearer went out ahead of him, and Goliath stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Why are you here?" I think it'd be a good question for some of us to ask ourselves today. Why are we here? He goes on to say, "Well, am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul?" In other words, he's saying, "Don't you know I'm bigger than you are? Don't you know that I'm stronger than you? Don't you know that I'm more powerful than you are?" He goes on to say, "Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and I kill him, you will become our subjects and you will serve us." Then the Philistines said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing the Philistines' word, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Then down in verse 16, it tells us that this would go on for 40 days and 40 nights. And as we read about this 9-foot-tall giant that is taunting, that is demoralizing, that is intimidating the Israelite army, I just wonder if any of us in our lives today have ever felt dismayed and terrified by some of the giants in our lives. Giants that stand over us and say, "Don't you know I'm bigger than you are? Don't you know that I'm stronger than you? Don't you know that I'm more powerful than you are?" And if you've ever felt like this in your life before, I want you to grab hold of the key thought for today's message. If you're taking notes, write this down. And that is that your giant may be big, but your God is bigger. Your giant may be big, but your God is bigger. You see, when we believe that Jesus is bigger than our giants, something starts to shift on the inside of us. When we believe that Jesus is bigger than our giants, something on the inside of us starts to shift, and all of a sudden we start to look at that giant and we say, "You got to stop talking to me. You got to stop taunting me. You got to stop trying to intimidate me in my life. Giant, you must fall." But if we don't get this truth deep down in our hearts, we will constantly and consistently keep getting beat down by the giants and the lies that try to tell us, "Don't get your hopes up. Don't get too excited. That giant's too big for you. That giant's too strong for you. Don't get too excited. Nothing's ever going to be different in your life. Nothing is going to change." And I want you to know, Rock City Church, that your giant may be big, but your God is bigger. As we talk about giants in our lives and how they must fall, I want us to understand that giants don't always start out as giants in our lives. In fact, I was reminded of this when I heard not too long ago this horrific, tragic story of this woman who was mauled to death by her pet tiger. And as horrific as that story is, maybe you're a little bit like me. And upon hearing about this story, you're thinking to yourself like I did, "Why in the world would anyone have a tiger as a pet? Anybody? Like, last time I checked, a tiger's a meat eater. Last time I checked, a tiger hunts for its food and survives in the wild by hunting and killing its prey. Like, how many of us know a tiger will always be a tiger? And so why would anyone want one as a pet?" And I thought it was interesting, one individual's theory on how this kind of transpired and why this woman would choose a tiger as a pet. His theory was that more than likely when this woman first met this tiger, it wasn't a full-grown tiger. That more than likely it was this cute, cuddly, furry, seemingly harmless little cub. She probably held this little furry thing in her arms. Maybe she enjoyed playing with it, enjoyed having it around. Maybe she even gave it a name like Boo Boo or something like that. And eventually, she formed this bond with this little furry, seemingly harmless little thing. But then one day, this pet morphed into what it actually was and showed its true colors. And it was no longer this furry, cuddly, harmless little cub. It was a savage killer. And how many of us know the same thing happens with some of the giants in our lives today? They start out cute. They start out furry. They start out seemingly harmless to our lives. And before we know it, they show its true colors, a savage killer, this giant that stands over us and tells us, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, and I'm more powerful than you are. As we talk about taking some giants out in our lives today, I want to talk to us about how the giant of addiction must fall. Everybody say addiction. Addiction. This giant that stands over us and tries to intimidate us and make us feel powerless against it. Now, I struggled with a drug addiction for many years in my life, and that lifestyle actually led me to spend 3.5 years incarcerated. Now, don't worry, I didn't just get out last week and Pastor Chad had me come preach to you today. This is over almost 15 years ago, and that's just one of many negative results of this giant of addiction in my life. But when I think back to where things began, how it all started in my life, it started out more as this furry, cute, seemingly harmless little cub in my life. You see, I grew up in the 80s and the 90s, and back then they had these commercials where they would have this guy like running down the street, and he looked pretty rough, like he'd been living on the streets for a while, was missing teeth, and he'd be running away from this police officer, and the commercial would end with this police officer catching him from behind the neck, and then this voice would come on the TV screen and say, nobody ever says they want to be a junkie when they grow up. Don't do drugs. In other words, don't have a tiger as a pet. And I remember thinking as a little boy, yeah, I don't want to be a junkie. Yeah, I don't want to have a tiger as a pet. But then I got to high school, and like most kids, I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to have lots of friends around me, and I had played sports basically my entire upbringing and childhood. As you can tell, I'm extremely athletic. That kind of goes without saying. I'm way more athletic than your Pastor Chad, but you already knew that anyways. And so I looked up to the athletes in my high school. I mean, they played sports. They were popular. They had all the cute girls. Many of them had scholarships to play sports in college. And so these were the guys that I wanted to be like. These were the guys that I looked up to. And I'll never forget, as a freshman in high school, getting invited one day after school to Mark Pacheco's house. Now, that name might not mean anything to you, but back in the day, this was a big deal. Mark started as the middle linebacker for our football team, and we won state that year, and he invited me over to his house with a bunch of upperclassmen, all these athletes, the quarterback of the football team, and I'm walking around Mark's house thinking, like, I have arrived. I am the man. And all of a sudden, Mark calls me in the back room, and I go back there with him and some of his buddies, and when we're back there, he whips out a joint. And I'll never forget that moment. As long as I live, I'll never forget what went through my mind. I looked at Mark and I thought to myself, this looks nothing like the commercial. This doesn't look like a tiger. This looks more like this cute, furry, cuddly, seemingly harmless little cub. And because I wanted to be liked, because I wanted to fit in and be accepted by these guys, I went ahead and jumped in. I started smoking weed here and there. I started drinking and partying with them. And what started out as a good time, what started out as something fun, as what started out as something to do to fit in, eventually turned into a full-blown tiger and giant in my life. And I've had people ask me, man, why in the world would you get addicted to drugs? Didn't you know that that was going to ruin your life? And I always tell them, well, nobody does drugs because they don't have some sort of pleasure in them. Like, nobody just does them because there's not something they get from them. The thing I always tell them, like, I like what they did for me. I just hated what they did to me. And what I discovered, like, Hebrews tells us the Bible says in Hebrews that sin is pleasurable for a season. The problem is that season doesn't last. And what I discovered was that addictions overpromise and underdeliver every single time. In fact, you know what else I discovered? Sin overpromises and underdelivers every single time. And what started out as just a good time, what started out as something to do for fun, what started out as something to do to fit in, smoking a little weed here and drinking here and there at this party, all of a sudden I was sniffing cocaine, I was smoking meth, I was smoking crack, and all of a sudden this little cuddly little cub turned into this savage killer, this giant, this tiger in my life. And I remember thinking to myself, how in the world did I get here? I remember being in a jail cell asking myself, how in the world did I get here? I don't think I'm a bad guy. I just wanted to party and have a good time. How in the world am I here when a lot of my friends are still out there? How did I get here? For those of us joining us from the correctional facilities, I want you to know, I know what it's like to be where you're at. I know what it's like to be in a place and asking yourself, how in the world did I get here? I don't want to be here. But I also want you to know, I'm on the other side. And I've experienced how Jesus has caused this giant to fall in my life. And if he can do it for me, I'm telling you, he can and he will do it for you. As we talk about bringing this giant of addiction down today, oftentimes when we say the word addiction, when we think of addictions, oftentimes our brains go to the big ones. Alcohol, drugs, maybe pornography, things people have to go to away to rehab centers to get treatment for. And although those things are absolutely true, I also want us to understand that there can be some other giants of addictions, we would say everyday addictions, that are a little bit more acceptable in our society, but just as deadly to our lives. You see, an addiction is something that anything we can't live without. That we're enslaved to this thing. It could be a habit we just can't break. It could be a person we can't seem to separate from. It can be a pattern that we can't change. And ultimately, it's harmful to our lives. And if it's left unchecked, if this addiction just keeps on running rampant in our lives, it devastates not only us, but everything around us too. We can be addicted to money, never seeming to have enough. We can be addicted to accomplishments. And I always have to win, I always have to come in first, always got to get the promotion, always got to make the company newsletter. And it doesn't matter how many accomplishments we get, it just never seems to be enough. We can be addicted to working out. We can be addicted to food. There's so many everyday addictions that our society says, no, that's fine, it's acceptable, but they're just as deadly to our lives. In fact, one addiction I think every one of us has faced, one giant of addiction that every one of us has faced in our lives would be this need for the approval of others. That I need other people to like me in order for me to feel good about myself. And social media really plays a huge part in this addiction that we can have. I know you guys probably have never struggled with this, but some of the people I deal with back at Experience Church in D-Town do. They'll post a picture on the gram or Facebook, and 5 minutes later, how many people liked it? How many people commented on it? How many people are validating me and approving of me and telling me that I'm okay and liking me so that I can feel good about myself? Whatever giant of addiction, whatever addiction we might be struggling with in our lives today, I want us to remember that your giant may be big, but your God is bigger. And as we continue to study the story of David and Goliath, let me give us three things that we can do to cause this giant of addiction to fall. If you're taking notes, the first thing that we can do is, number one, is to draw the line. We've got to draw the line. In the story, we see these two armies setting up shop on the hills. But what's interesting is David isn't even there. David, this young shepherd boy, isn't even in the Israelite army. He's actually back at his father's place, tending to their sheep. And his father, Jesse, comes to him and says, hey, I want you to take some supplies to King Saul and the Israelite army. And then while you're there, I want you to go check and see how your older brothers are doing, and then come back and report back to me what you find. And so we'll pick up the story, 1 Samuel 17, verse 20 through 24. It says, early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd. He loaded up those supplies and he set out just as his father Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Verse 21 says, Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. There are moments in our lives when we have to shout the war cry. We have to draw the line. Goes on to say that David left his things with the keeper of supplies and he ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, this Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. You see, the Israelites, they fled in fear, but at some point, we got to stop running. At some point, we have to stop making excuses. At some point, we have to stop downplaying the giants in our lives and acting like they're not there and acting like they're not wreaking havoc in our lives. And we have to shout the war cry. We have to draw the line. We have to say, enough is enough. Until, how many of us know we can't slay any giants if we won't even admit that we have one? And I used to say, man, I don't have a drug problem. I can quit whenever I want. The issue is I just don't want to quit. But the truth was, I didn't know how. And I couldn't. And it wasn't until I came to this point in my life where I said, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. This thing is never going to give me what I'm looking for. This thing overpromises and underdelivers every single time. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm drawing a line today. Enough is enough. I'm shouting the war cry, and I'm taking a stand against this giant in my life. And I just wonder how many of us here today need to do the same thing with some of the giants in our lives. In other words, that we wouldn't conceal it, we would confess it. Because whenever a giant is concealed, it finds its power in the darkness. But when this giant is confessed, it loses its power in the light. And I wonder who needs to draw a line today. Who needs to say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm drawing the line. The second thing that we need to do to cause this giant of addiction to fall in our lives, number two, is to tune it out. Tune it out. And in the story, David hears this giant, Goliath, shouting his usual defiance against the armies of the living God. And he starts asking the question, man, what will be given? What will be given to the man who takes this Philistine giant out and removes this disgrace from Israel? Well, his brothers kind of get a little like, you're not even here to fight. Get away from us. He keeps asking, David keeps asking everybody in the battle line, man, what will be given? And he kind of causes a little bit of a stir, and word gets back to King Saul the things that David is asking and saying back on the battle lines. So King Saul says, I want to talk to this guy. So let's take a look at this conversation as David comes before King Saul in verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17. David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this giant. I wonder who needs to hear that. You've lost heart. You've given up hope. You've bought the lie that nothing could be different in your life. Can I just speak this over you today? That no one lose heart because of this giant in your life. He goes on to say, your servant will go out and fight him. And you would think Saul would be like super stoked, like finally got this guy. Somebody has the courage to go out and fight this Philistine giant. But instead, take a look at how Saul responds. Verse 33 says, but you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. Other versions say you're only a young boy. And he's been a warrior from his youth. Saul responds by telling David all the reasons why he can't. All the reasons why it's not going to happen. All the reasons why he's going to fail and he can't overcome what he's facing in his life. And I wonder if any of us can relate to that in our lives today. People around us have said, no, I'm going to tell you all the reasons why you can't. Let me tell you all the reasons why you're going to fail. Let me tell you all the reasons why that giant is bigger than you are, stronger than you are. I've heard this before. You've said this. This is the 45th time that you've said that you're going to change. This is 100 time you said to this time's gonna be different. I'm sick and tired and of being sick and tired. You're not gonna change. You're not gonna be any different. And at some point, we just have to close out and tune out these wrong voices that try to keep us stuck where we're at. And we gotta keep on moving forward to where we want to be. In fact, I was praying this morning and this thought just came to me. In other words, our response to some of these voices that tell us that we can't, it's not going to change, nothing's going to ever be different. In other words, our response would be, I hear you, but I ain't listening. I hear you, But I ain't listened. I know I said it before. I know I said I was going to change, and I went back to it. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening to you. I know I've messed up. I know I've made a mess of it. I hear you, giant, but I'm not listening to you. What if we would just tune out some of the giants in our lives? I hear you, giant. I hear what you're saying. You're coming out for 40 days and 40 nights taunting us, intimidating us, trying to demoralize us. I hear you, Goliath, but I'm not listening. I'm going to draw a line today. Enough is enough. I'm tuning out the wrong voices, and I'm going where God's calling me to go in Jesus' name. Are you with me? And this is exactly what David does in verse 34. Of 1 Samuel 17, but David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I didn't shrink back, I rose up. I went after it, I struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, man, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. And your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this giant, will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." In other words, this is not God's plan for my life. This is not God's will for my life, that I would be bound to this giant. And because I know this is not God's plan, he's going to give me the strength to rise up and take this thing out. I'm tuning this giant's taunts out. Verse 37 says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go. Go and the Lord be with you." In other words, David's saying, the God who got me here will get me there. The God who did it before will do it again. I'm not focusing on all the reasons why I can't. I'm focusing on the one reason I can. His name is Jesus. And my giant may be big, but my God is bigger. And I hear the giant taunting me. I hear the lies of the enemy, but I ain't listening to them anymore. And finally today, the third thing that we can do to cause this giant of addiction to fall is number three, is to take it down. Come on, I'm going to take this thing down. And the Bible tells us that as David is on his way out to fight Goliath, he stopped by this stream and he picks up five smooth stones. And he walks out with a slingshot in his hand as he approaches this giant. And verse 45, take a look at what David says to this giant. You know, sometimes you got to speak to your giant. Sometimes you got to tell your giant what's up, what's really going down. He says this in verse 45, "You come against me with a sword. You come against me with a spear. You come against me with a javelin." In other words, you're big. You're big, giant. I see you. I see you. I see the 125-pound armor you're wearing. I see the 15-pound tip of your spear. I see how big you are. You're 9 feet, 9 inches tall. I know you're big, giant. But let me tell you who's bigger. Let me remind you, and as I'm reminding you, I'm kind of reminding myself of who's bigger. You're big, but my God is bigger because I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Love this in verse 46. He says, "This day." Everybody say, "This day." Not tomorrow, not 3 months from now, not a year from now. No, this day God's doing something new in my life. This day I'm drawing a line. This day I'm saying enough is enough. This day I'm tuning out the wrong voice. This day I'm taking him. This day. I know it's a process. But what if this day God started to do something new in our lives? He says, "No, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down, and I'm going to cut off your head. This day, this very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." I love, why are you so graphic, David? Because I'm not playing with this thing anymore. Come on, we can't play with the giants in our lives. Come on, we're going to rise up. Get aggressive, get a little intense. Say, "You know, this day I'm cutting off your head." But I love what he says in verse 47. "And all those gathered here will know that it's not by a sword, it's not by a spear, it's not by some rocks or even a slingshot. That everybody will know that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands." I was picturing this this story and even thinking about my own life. Here, sometimes as we face the giants in our lives, it feels like we just have a bunch of rocks in our hands and we're rolling out with a slingshot. And we're like, man, I am so undergunned in this fight. But how many of us know when we realize the battle belongs to the Lord, a slingshot is all we need. You know, what if, I was thinking about my own life. You know when the giant of addiction really started to fall in my life? I want you to catch this. When I realized what I needed wasn't more self-discipline. What I needed wasn't more self-control. What I needed wasn't more strength. What I needed was to run to my Savior, Jesus. And I love Romans chapter 7 with the Apostle Paul, who's having the same dilemma, the same struggle. He makes this profound statement in Romans chapter 7. He says, why do I do what I don't want to do? When the very thing I want to do, I don't do, and the very thing I hate, this I keep on doing. Anybody ever been there? I don't want to keep going back to this thing. In fact, I hate this thing, and I hate what it's doing to me. I hate this addiction. I hate how I'm lying. I'm hurting the very people that I love. I hate what it's doing to me. But I keep going back to it. And then who I want to be and where I want to go, I don't go in that direction. And then he asks this profound question, who will rescue me from this body of sin? And he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, he's saying the same thing David's saying in 1 Samuel 17. The battle belongs to the Lord. What if the reason you keep losing to this giant of addiction in your life is because you think you're David in the story? You think you just need more self-control. You just need more self-discipline. You just got to get strong. Come on, don't do that again. You just got to beat yourself up a little bit more because you went back to that thing. And next time, if you kind of beat yourself up enough, you're not going to go back to it. You see more strength. Come on, more discipline, more faith. But what if the reason you keep losing is because you think you're David? But what if you're not? What if you're actually a part of the Philistine army back on the hill and you're watching King Jesus walk out to take this giant of addiction down in your life? What if the problem is, it's not up to you, it's not in your own strength. It's not getting more self-discipline and more self-control, beating yourself up for 5 days after you go back to that addiction, telling yourself it's always gonna, no. Don't run to the battle line, run to Jesus. When I discover what Paul is saying in Romans 7, why do I keep doing the wrong things? What do I want to do? I don't. What I hate, I keep on doing. When I realized I needed to run to Jesus. Like I needed to dig into God's word more than I ever had before in my life. Why? So I can feel better about myself? No. So I can get God's truth in my heart and in my mind. And next time that enemy tries to taunt me and demoralize me and intimidate me, I stand on the truth of God's word and say, no, greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in this world. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. I'm going to tune out the wrong voice and I'm going to tune in the right ones. And I'm going to pray like never before. Why? Because I want to feel better about myself. I'm more religious. No, because prayer is the simple act of humbling myself and declaring, God, apart from you, I can do nothing. Like I can't take this giant out on my own. I don't have what it takes. I don't have the strength. I don't have the self-control, but you do, Jesus. And so I fall on my knees and I say, Jesus, you must increase and I must decrease in my life, God. I hate going back to that thing, but no more. I'm drawing a line. Enough is enough. And I'm crying out to you, God, do what only you can do. Change me, heal me, forgive me, restore me. I'm desperate for you, God. What if we prayed like that? I'm telling you, some giants would fall in our lives. Man, I need to make church a priority and be in God's house. I need to get into a small group and get around other people who can support me and I can support them. It's not just about me. Come on, somebody. I need to find some purpose, something bigger than my giant to live for. Not only am I going to get into a small group so people can pour into me, but I want to pour into others too. And as we draw this line, as we tune out the wrong voices, as we take out these giants, What happens is, as Jesus becomes bigger, our giant becomes smaller. You know why? Because your giant may be big, but your God is bigger. Would you pray with me today? Father, we love you in this place. God, thank you. Thank you that no matter where we've been or what we've done or even how far we've ran from you, you keep running after us. You keep believing in us. Thank you, God, that you give hope to the hopeless and freedom to the captive. God, thank you for your grace that's sufficient. Thank you for your mercy that's new every morning, God. We might have messed up yesterday. We might even messed up this morning, but your mercy is new every single morning. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love that never fails. As we're praying together in this place today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here, you need to run to Jesus. No, you need to run to Jesus. Not talk about Jesus. Not acknowledge that you've heard about Jesus. Run to Jesus and fall at his feet and say, here's my life, God. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of trying to do it on my own. I surrender my heart to you today. Change me, God. Restore me. Heal me, God. Heal my life. Heal my heart. Heal my relationships. Heal my regrets and my shame that I carry along with me because of this giant of addiction. Save me, God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this place today, and that's your next step, to say, here's my life, God, to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, would you lift your hand to heaven? Here I am, God. Here's my life. Maybe you walked with him at one point in time, but you've kind of fallen away, and today you need to rededicate your heart to him. Come on, lift your hand to heaven. Here I am, God. I need you. Right where you're at, would you just pray this with me? Say, God, thank you. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for loving in me. Thank you for that no matter what I've done, you are still there for me. And today, God, here's my life. Change me. Forgive me. Restore me. Heal me. My life is yours. Jesus' name. As we continue praying, maybe there's a giant of addiction in your life. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's like me. It was drugs. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's accomplishments. Maybe it's something society would say is more acceptable, but you know it's killing you. There's a giant of addiction that stands before you. And today, God is calling you to draw the line. Enough is enough. Today is your day. This day, this very day, this giant must fall. If you have a giant of addiction in your life and you're ready to take it down, would you stand to your feet? Come on, stand to your feet. Draw the line. Take this bold step and stand up and say, no, enough is enough. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm not allowing this thing to be a part of my life any longer. I'm drawing a line today. Enough is enough. Giant, you must fall. You're standing, would you lift your hands to heaven? God, here we are. We're drawing a line today, God. And we realize we're not David in this story. King Jesus is. God, we thank you that today you're not calling us to be more self-controlled and more self-disciplined and to try and muster up more strength. God, today you're calling us to run to you, to surrender to you, to be more committed to you, God. And right now in this place, we're drawing a line, God. We're saying enough is enough. We're tuning out the wrong voices, God. We hear them, but we ain't listening. We're listening and standing upon the truth of your word, God. We're taking this thing down. Have your way, God. I know it's a process, but God, this day, this very day, do what only you can do in our lives. As we look to heaven, Jesus, have your way. Have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Come on, stand upon your feet. Let's worship God. Let's honor him for all that he did today. In Jesus' name.